cloudy and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew.
Fantastic.
Yeah, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, all the way back from New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Drew can tell us why he went.
No, I can't because it hasn't aired yet.
I thought it aired tonight.
In some parts of the country, it's airing right now, just starting to air.
Oh, really?
In like 20 minutes, I can tell you why.
All right.
I will have been revealed within 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, hold on a second. That show, that mystery show we're talking about, doesn't it airs at 10 o'clock
at
night?
That's what I heard, yeah. That's what I was told.
I don't want to say the name of the show and get Drew into trouble, but it's never aired at 10 o'clock at night. It's always aired at like 8 o'clock at night.
I know.
Is there an East Coast thing? It's not live.
No.
You should get on the internet and figure that out.
Right a second?
Well, I don't know, Drew.
I can talk about it, too.
Should we be talking about? I mean, it's distracting. It's at 10 o'clock at night. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, maybe I saw it on the East Coast feed at like 7:20 or
something.
There you go. I just missed your stuff. Mm. All right, let's not screw this up. We'll talk about it in 18 or 19 minutes when we can, right?
Yes.
All right. Drew, here's the beauty of Drew and me and our relationship. Drew went to New York, and he went there on a sort of a secret mission that he couldn't talk about. And the thing that was funny is he never had to tell me not to talk about it because I never asked why he was going to New York.
Well,
Or I never inquired about it, was the thing.
I never thought to tell you. You know what I mean?
You never thought to tell me it was a secret mission.
And you never thought to ask. But we both were like equally like culpable.
Yeah, it was funny. Last night, Ant was like, yeah, Drew's there on a secret mission. I'm like, where? New York. Yeah? Why is he there? It's secret. Oh, now I wanted to know. But the point is you just picked up and left in New York.
Right.
I had no questions for you.
Hey, good.
All right. I cannot hear myself. Oh, now I can.
Yeah.
I've been got my knob down a little bit because I was scared whenever, whatever. We had a little technical problem at the beginning of the show. That's all right. Crack engineer Chris, he got on a blower about 9:59 and 43 seconds is when he decided it was time to actually go ahead and pick up the phone.
I heard him say the fatal words, dude, we got nothing.
Dude, we got nothing. And then it was funny because we're looking at the digital clock here, and Drew said to Chris, hey, Chris, what's going on? And he goes, I'm working on it. And Drew goes, we got 4 seconds. And Chris goes, go!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing we were sort of attuned to this kind of thing from years at Westwood One.
That's
right. You know
what
I mean? It doesn't bother us. We're not rattled by anything.
Huh? That's right.
What?
Well, right.
Is that a cheap shot on me?
No. You also have to contend with everything over there.
That's right.
But I
think you, buddy.
Can I also say that I've heard stories from the producers over there that Chris blames everything on me, and that's not always the case. But I hear he just yells, "It's Anderson's fault."
No. Well, look. That's how it goes.
Aren't you used to radio? That's how it works at radio. You just go.
Yeah. People, you know, there's a couple of S adages, like the S rolls downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that, but not as good as a lot of other things would. You know what I mean? Like an avocado or an orange, a marble or wheelbarrow tire or something like that. Like, it seems like if S started rolling downhill, it would gather a lot of twigs and leaves and stuff, and it would eventually flatten
gravel
out.
Gravel and things, yeah.
Yeah. The other one I like, too, is dog can't smell his own ass. Really?
Then why do they go over there and sniff their nose in it?
This one's got 45 minutes into sniffing it. Yeah, can't smell it. Can't? Really? I like the other one. There's a few good S ones. You don't F where you S.
Right.
I like that one, too. That's the work one.
Yeah.
You don't F where you S.
Really?
Or is it S where you work or whatever it is? You don't eat where you S. Yeah, it's true. I don't eat in the bathroom, but it's only about 6-8 feet away. And it's technically under the same roof, if you want to look at it that way.
That's right.
According to the city, it's on the same plot. A lot of essing going on under the same roof. A lot of eating's going on.
Yeah.
It seems like, here's all I'm saying. The S-isms always seem a little bit off, especially the one where the dog can't smell it. All right. Drew, what time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. All right. So well, Drew's right.
The next break, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Drew's super secret mission to New York City, everybody. All right. You ready to go?
It's so exciting when they actually find out what it was.
Yeah. All right. No, I think it was exciting. I think it was flattering,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was nice.
Melanie?
Yes.
You're 24?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I'm 24, and there is a family history. At least my mom and I, we have both, she started menopause when she was 24, and the same thing is happening to me now. And the doctor, the blood tests haven't come back yet, but my doctor believes that it's because I have a problem with my hypothalamus. And that would mean that there's something wrong with my brain. Well, if that's the case, that's what's wrong with my mother. Well, she has schizophrenia. So yeah. I'm worried that, because I have the same thing, that I'm worried about my possibilities of schizophrenia. And I tried to talk to my doctor about this, and she just blew it off.
No, you don't have menopause, in fact, but you have something called premature ovarian failure.
Okay.
And it is effectively menopause because your ovaries are shutting down. So
yeah, because I'm having the hot flashes and everything.
Yeah, you go through a menopausal syndrome, but it's not menopause, which is the natural genetically predetermined shutdown of your ovaries. This is usually sort of an autoimmune syndrome or part of multiple endocrine problems. So people also have thyroid conditions and hypothalamic problems like you're talking about. So you need to see an endocrinologist, okay?
Okay.
Very important. It does not associate it with mental illness, to my knowledge.
Okay, because that was my concern, was that the way my doctor described it to me was that something was wrong with my brain.
No, it's your. Think of it more as something wrong with your glands. That's just the control gland for your body that is connected to your brain, but it's really not a brain issue.
Hey, you don't ask where you menstruate either.
You can't
smell your own tampon. Dog can't smell his own tampon. Who came up with that dog can't smell his own ass one? I want to sock that guy in the gut. Is that the world's worst?
Yeah, it's the worst one. Not only could he can exquisitely differentiate between his and everybody else's.
Not only can he eats it.
Yes.
He loves it so much, he eats it. You idiot. Dog can't smell his own.
What are they talking about?
I'm going to find these guys. I'm going to find that guy. I'm going to find the possession is a 9/10 of the law guy.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Now, I still got to find him.
Okay.
I find that guy.
Find his descendants.
And I got to find the guy that alerted us all the fact we're only using 3% of our brain.
Oh.
Okay. Dog can't smell his own ass. Here's the idea. Each guy's getting the move, too. he's getting the knee.
Yeah, which I just nearly got.
Knee to the groin. That buckles him over.
Yeah.
Then he gets the big uppercut that straights him out. Straight out. Then the flying elbow.
Nice.
And the elbow goes to the neck.
Nice.
That's that guy. So this is the dog can't smell his own ass. Possession is 9/10 of the law, which never really meant anything other than. And by the way, of the law. So once you steal it, once you got it, it's yours.
Yeah.
Like a high speed chase, I steal your car. Ha ha! Oh no, I'm in it. 9/10. Maybe it's 9/10, but that last tenth is huge, and it dwarfs the other nine.
As tenths go,
it's one of the bigger tenths. And then the idiot who decided we only use 3 or 4% of our brain make us all feel like retards.
The most ridiculous aphorism ever.
I spent
makes no sense.
15 years that people tell me.
Yeah,
you know the human only uses. What's the rest? What do you mean we only use?
But there was always attached to that was the mysteries of the Orient. We're able to crack into another 30% and. No, come on. It's not how the brain works to think of it that way.
Well, 97% of it is just styrofoam packing.
Of course.
Really.
Of course.
It's not there for anything. No. We don't need it.
No.
Yeah, that's why when a guy gets kicked in the head by a horse, he turns into a vegetable.
He's never the same.
Yeah, because it hit that 3% he's using.
Right.
It always magically hits the 3%.
Right. The point is it's an integrated
retards.
Whole where you're using every bit of it.
The guy thought of that used 3%. He's trying to bump my high, Drew.
Heather, 20.
Idiots.
Hello.
Hi, Heather.
What's happening, baby doll?
I have a question. I just need some advice on mine and my husband's relationship. Well, we've been married a year and 2 months, but we separated for about 4 or 5 months.
How old is he?
He's 21.
Mm-hmm. And why'd you get married so young? That's what they do in Texas, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she doesn't see it as young.
Don't ask people confusing questions.
Young? What?
Well, and no, why did you... I mean, why did, you shouldn't ask anyone that question. Everybody always asks me that. And it's like,
because
well,
that's a...
By the way, you shouldn't ask anyone that question followed up with, everyone always asks me that. It's not a great...
Not a ringing endorsement of your case.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The fact is, the reason we ask that is because the statistics on young marriages are horrible.
That's why
we ask that question. What's that?
Because we're young.
Yeah, the probability of a young marriage surviving is very low.
They got married young because they were young.
Oh, okay.
If they'd gotten married when they're in their 30s, they wouldn't have gotten married young.
Oh, I see.
All right. Go ahead, Heather.
Let me get that written down.
We got that down.
Why did you break up? Why did you have a separation?
Well, she's in the Marine Corps, and we've been having a long-distance relationship for the past 2.5 years. So, it was just really stressful, and I was just basically running away from, our problems, just taking the easy way out, and I just, wanted to, I guess, get away. Was it right?
Look, Heather, you're talking in circles. What was the problems that you're running away from?
That was the problems that we...
Oh, the problems were the... Wait, hold on a second.
Let's do a recap. Drew.
Yeah.
Why did they get married so young?
Because they were young.
All right. And what problem was she running away from?
Well, the problem. That was the problem.
Okay. All right. Now we're on the same page.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. Now we got all that. Now that the smoke is cleared, we understand very clearly what's going on.
Okay.
What is your question?
Okay. Well, we separated for about 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. And we recently just got back together about 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And while we were separated, we both dated other people. And I dated this guy, and he was half black and half white. But my husband doesn't believe in interracial relationships, and he kind of has a problem with this. And at first it was okay, but just like the past week, he's been kind of weird about it, and it's starting to really bother him.
Heather, if your boyfriend had been red hair, he decided he hated red hair.
If he dated Ron Howard from Mayberry.
Yeah, he decided those are people he hates. And it would eat on him the more he was with you, too.
Hold on. Just could you screwballs not have any kids, please?
Uh-oh.
No, we don't have kids.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
That's it. That's all we need to hear.
What are you doing for birth control? What are you doing for birth control?
Birth control. Bills.
We just completed the hat trick, Drew. This is the trifecta.
Reenactment. What are you doing for birth control?
Birth control?
Okay. Got it.
All right. So let's cover the main beats here.
The problem is the problem.
Right.
They got married when they were young because they were young. And she's using for birth control.
She's on a birth control.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So.
That's it. The hat trick. We've never quite achieved that before. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
It's a first tonight.
All right, Heather.
Thank you, Heather.
Okay.
And the kind of car you drive is an automobile?
A 96 Dodge Ram.
Okay. See, now that's something she knows.
Yeah.
All right. Heather, here's the thing. I'm a genius.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. And
you
it's
are,
all
Dr. Drew.
Well, that was Adam talking, though.
Right. Drew's, everyone's a genius who's talking to you, Heather.
Oh,
now, listen to me, except for your husband and the mulatto boyfriend. Now, listen, don't have any kids. For Christ's sake, do not have children.
We don't want any kids.
Yeah, I know you don't want any. People that have a brood don't have it. Okay, stay on that birth control.
Okay.
Now, here's the dealio. If you guys got married young... He's a little racist, but it's not so much racist, probably, as it is a testosterone-laden, hopped-up young guy. This is going to haunt him. Yeah. You may not get past this. You guys seem like, just the sheer fact that you had to, fill him in on the details.
Yeah. Chaos.
Maybe there's a little chaos. You're running away from something. A little therapy.
Yeah, it's possible they could outgrow this this is why people shouldn't be married young, is because they sometimes do grow out of these things.
Right.
Sometimes.
Let me just say this, shifting gears to us.
I love that. She's on the birth control.
That's
great.
Right.
I love that.
That's right.
It's so clear.
The I don't know if you were, well, you were in New York last night. I was watching television last night, and there was that flash flood, that goddamn flash flood crawl that was underneath everything. It's been raining for 3 days, and they put that crawl underneath the TV
screen.
It's you know, flash flood. You know,
in Southern California, people are, the rest of the country don't know it was raining like hell here.
It was been raining for 3 days, and it's that's the flash flood warning.
Yeah,
let me say a couple things. Lived in Los Angeles for going on about 30 years now, yet to experience the flash flood. Not saying they don't exist. Would prefer that they give it to the folks that actually need it, who are living in the dried riverbeds or in the scuppers or the drain spouts or wherever these retards live.
Well, it's also where the fires were. That's where the concerns were.
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's figure out a way to let these folks know without destroying my evening.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. And this is where we're going as a country. 99.999% of the people that are watching the TV aren't stupid enough to live in a flash flood area. The ones that are should know it, or we shouldn't care about them, or they should make it their business to do the rain ground saturation math.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
And move.
Listen, you live on top of a goddamn volcano, that's your problem.
Yeah.
I don't need 3/4 of my screen taken up by the crawl with some jackass telling me what's going on every 10 seconds.
In your neighborhood.
Flash flood. Flash flood. Yeah! You're living in a trailer on the side of a cliff. I don't live there. And neither does anyone else I know who's looking at this goddamn crawl that's cutting into the bottom of every single thing we're watching Sunday night. Sunday night, good night of was a good night of television watching for me. Let's get rid of the crawl. Go ahead and drop some leaflets down on the tarts that are living in the flood area. Or let them figure it out.
Well, you know what it'll be if they don't put the flash flood down there. It'll be weather watch, storm watch.
Storm watch.
By the way, Stormo, translation, it's raining in Los Angeles.
Translation, yeah, no news. This is news. They're going to make it news. Yeah, it just with the crawls. By the way, I'll tell you when. Okay, I'll tell you the guys I'm going after. Here's the guys I'm going after. I'm going after the guy who gave the green light to the crawl underneath everything. Like, we need this information. I need to know what Ricky Martin's up to. I need to know Jacko's got a court appearance in Santa Barbara. Somehow I need to be abreast of everything all the time, even when I'm trying to be distracted by watching something else.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, by the way, when you're watching, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm and you got to watch a crawl talking about flash flooding, you understand that you're watching a guy who's supposed to be, it's fiction.
Yes.
You understand? It takes you out of the fiction to see the goddamn crawl running under there talking about the effing flash flood every 10 seconds. I want this guy. I'll tell you who else I want. I want the guy decided it was okay to put the stickers on the tomatoes, the ones I got to cut off with a knife or consume. Hey, it's ripe. Hey, jack off. I got eyes. Hey, I can see the tomato.
And the apples, too. I don't like
that.
Yeah,
it's red. The apple? Yeah, I see it. Jesus Christ, how did we get along for 150 years without your crappy idea of putting a sticker that won't come off on the goddamn apples?
It ruins the tomatoes. The skin comes off.
The tomatoes, here's what happens to me. Here's my thing. First, it's like, start with the nail.
Yeah.
It's not working. Then I move to the sink. I'll hit it with a little hot water. And I'll hit it with the nail a little. It's not happening. Let me get the paring knife. What am I doing? That's what happens.
Yeah.
About minute 8. As I'm working the paring knife, pulling a little thing, I just stop and have a meltdown. What's going on? Who decided this was a good idea? I'm going to open a store. It's going to be called No Childproof Caps, No Stickers on the Produce. It's 10 times the price, but you shop in with dignity with other adults. How are you going to know? How did our parents know when it was okay to buy an apple, Drew? Must have been pandemonium. They must have been
How did they know it was an apple?
Yeah, they must have been buying.
When? How could they possibly identify?
Shriveled up, little prune-like apples, or just hard green sapling apples.
But I understand. It lets you know that it's an apple. Otherwise, you might bring home a bunch of apples. Great. Yeah, you can tell a Fiji from a Washington from a Gala. They're very, very different. There always were different apples, too, by the way.
What did Anderson say?
He said there's different kinds of apples.
Oh, shut up,
Brian.
Anderson.
Brian wanted me to tell you that he's dying over here.
Would you whack him in his head with a rolled-up newspaper, would you?
Let's take a call.
All right.
Germany or Florida?
Oh, for Christ's
Come
sake.
Come on.
With the flood watch. the flash flood. And let me tell you something about a flash flood. Here's the thing about a flash flood. There's a surprise element to it. It's like saying, hey, surprise party coming up this weekend. Next, surprise party. Now, flash. Flash. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, it's just a flood. You see? It was a flash flood until you started harping on it for the last 4 hours. Now, flood. Think about it, Drew.
You're right.
All right.
It's no longer news. Flood warning.
This is a flood warning, not a flash flood warning. Because you guys tipped the flash. Bastards.
Michael. No, come on.
I'm tired of sitting around and look at it, but worrying about everyone else's crap all the time. This could happen. Just let us watch our goddamn shows in peace.
Well,
you
said
retards?
Something very interesting. You said now they make it news. That's exactly what this is all about.
When are we going to get rid of weathermen in this godforsaken city of ours?
Creating news from life, from nothing.
I'm done with the weathermen. Mm-hmm. I'm done with them in this city. You pussies. Just go get a job, would ya? Leave us alone. Leave us out of your horrible, twisted world, would you? With your flash floods and your storm warnings and your weather watch 2004s and all your other nonsense. It doesn't amount to a hill of goddamn beans for anybody.
Germany or Florida, Michael?
Nerd friends.
Hey, Michael. Hey, what's going on?
How's it going, Adam and Dr. Drew?
It's all good.
I was doing good until I started thinking about those stickers on produce.
Germany or Florida?
I hear what you're saying. I've been listening for 6 years to your show.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Okay, here's my question. German... Oh, damn, I just blew the question.
All right.
A German man who...
I'm going Germany.
Yeah, I would too.
Just to win on a technicality.
All right.
And look, you people have difficulty with that kind of stuff, and I'm one of them. I go ahead and cross out on the article where it says a German man. You just cross out German.
So you're still your Tourette's will take over.
All right.
Okay.
Should we go check the set, Drew?
I saw a good film today.
Drew, is your house still there?
There was a flash flood, but
it's
still
man.
There.
Oh, man, look out. Yeah. All right, Drew saw a good movie on the plane. He was bawling his eyes out on the plane.
I freaked out all the flight attendants.
Bawling?
Yeah.
All right, well, you tell us. Yeah. And you tell us about your secret mission.
Yeah, I can tell
New
you.
York.
I think I can.
Did you get a notepad and write something down? You're going to forget.
Oh, the different things
I'm
I want to talk about?
I'm going to get going on sticking.
Right,
no, this is my notepad.
All right, here. This. Give me a pen.
All right. This is my pen.
I'll give it back to you.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Okay, I'm all.
You worked up tonight.
Fired up tonight.
Yeah, fired up.
Fired up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No. All right. Okay. Flash flood. I was talking. Okay.
I
was talking to Drew about
this.
We went
from weathermen to drivers.
Okay. What percentage of people watching the television are in a flash flood?
Or even for whom
area
that flood issues could even potentially be important?
Yes, we're talking about the constant crawl that was under all the programming yesterday.
One per 100,000.
Yes. If it's one per 100, it's way too many. It's 1 per 100,000.
Yeah.
We need to screw everything up for that one guy. This is where our country's heading, mm-hmm. everybody. We're worried about the one guy in the 100,000 group.
Yeah.
Really? Let's picture 100,000 people wearing blue shirts and the one guy wearing a red shirt in a Rose Bowl stadium size event
football
venue.
Yeah.
We need to worry about the one guy? No.
You know that one guy?
The guy needs to shut up. That's what he needs to do, or get the S beaten out of him. And look, and if you ain't that one guy, don't worry about it. All right, where are you talking? Drew, what did you go to New York for?
I did the Super Millionaire. I was one of the wise men in the new Lifeline at the Super Millionaire with Regis.
Mm-hmm.
It's on right now. And the identity was shrouded in mystery in the beginning of the show, but then we are revealed right about now,
mm-hmm.
and we help a guy.
You do?
Yeah.
You help him win?
It's going to be a little while here. So, yeah. Another 10 more minutes before we're going to tell the whole story. But
really? But
yeah.
You helped the guy? Helped the guy win?
Yeah, yeah.
Can't say the question?
Not that I'm sure. That's 10 more minutes.
All right. Yeah. All right, P-Whip.
Hey, I signed a document for that.
Document.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was it's a very well-done show. And
but they thought enough of you is to make you like one of the wise men.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right.
The show, it's so weird. The questions are so obscure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so certain not to be in your area of expertise, basically. I mean, they don't specifically avoid
your area. It wouldn't be a medical question.
Right. But it's sort of never any expertise. You know,
yeah.
Somebody said like a couple months ago, one of the questions was, you know, what is the insignia on Starbucks? The things that are out there, but you don't, you know what I mean? That's the kind of question we had.
To me, it's this aquatic goddess or something. Like, it's not Neptune, but it's a sort of goddess of the sea.
Yes. It's like a mermaid or something, apparently.
Something close to that, yeah. Well, what would the answer be?
Mermaid,
A mermaid?
Yeah.
I could have won.
You're pretty good. I was thinking your mind would be good for this kind of show, though, because it's all minutia detail about your environment, but not about knowledge so much as the what's around you in life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But some of it's authors and things like that.
Yeah. I was at Starbucks last week. I had this idea.
Yeah.
And we got to go to calls.
Yeah.
We got to get rolling here, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the idea?
I had this thought today. I was with Dickie from the Boston's.
Yeah.
And, from Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Uncle Frank was at the Millionaire Show last night, by the way.
Yes, he was.
Did you see footage of it?
No, I didn't see it yet. I'll see it tonight on Jimmy's show.
You're
funny.
Dickie from the Boston's and I were we're sitting over Kimmel's today, and we went to go get a cup of coffee around 2 in the afternoon. We went to the coffee bean or tea or leaf or whatever that place is. And, you know, they do that thing, and they go, you want us to stamp your card. I'll give you a punch a thing out. Yeah, you get 10 cups. You get a free cup. Oh, well, started with the sub shops, I think.
The car washes, I think, is what really started.
Car wash. To me, it's a sub shop. Yeah. Here's my idea. My idea is everywhere you go, when you get to the 10th, you get a sub. It doesn't matter if it's a car wash, coffee place.
You get a hoagie?
You get a hoagie.
10th pair of shoe. Here.
You know, it'd be funny because they don't technically tell you what you're getting. You just assume it's one more free.
No, right.
You go to the smoothie place, you get the hoagie.
Yeah.
Every place you get the hoagie.
Yeah, car wash, hoagie.
Yeah,
ice skating rink, hoagie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I got my car washed 10 times. Yeah, 10th time you get a hoagie. I thought I got the car washed. I never said that. We never established that.
10th time get a sub?
You get the hoagie. Now, ironically, you go to the sub shop, you get a car, you get a wash and wax, and a cup of coffee, and a smoothie. But we're just having one of those stupid guy laugh things that the hoagie was the universal gift that was given out on the 10th of everything. David?
Yeah.
David,
can you hear us?
I can hear you guys.
Year 20, what's up?
Well, I don't know if it's normal or not, but when I wake up in the morning, a lot of times I can pop my penis.
Yeah.
Like
that's
you wake
normal.
Up in morning wood.
Yeah, there's a ligament there that can be cracked like any other ligament, basically.
Like your neck and your back.
Yeah.
And that's normal.
Well, some guys can do it, some guys can't, but it doesn't mean anything pathological. There's nothing wrong with you because of it.
It's not going to mess with my sperm count or anything weird like that.
I'm only going to tell or sit here while Drew tells someone that 3 times. That's no problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. And by the way, the third follow up always never just smells a little bogus.
Yes,
Michael.
Exactly.
Second of it. No. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You'll be rendered sterile. Shannon.
Shannon, 15.
Oh, is that okay. I had a question.
Caller who goes by Shannon.
Yeah. No, I didn't hear you say my name.
Okay.
I heard you say girl 15 or something. I don't know.
All right. But, what's up?
About a month ago, my parents found alcohol in the room, and I was at a friend's house, and they called me home, and my dad was waiting at the end of the lane, and he, didn't...
Is the lane... The lane is if you live on a cul-de-sac?
I live in, not in the country, but we... It's not a
lanes
big town.
Streets are in the city. Lanes are in the country.
I see.
Yeah.
Bad sign when your dad's at the end of the lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was about 9 o'clock at night. He didn't pull me out of the car, but it was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And he just hits me so hard across the face. Everyone in the car is looking at me, and I'm on the ground. He starts kicking me, whatever. And he grabs
kicking you?
Yes.
Well, he's an
alcoholic.
Yeah.
But, I think he might be, but he wasn't drunk at the time.
Well, maybe he was worried about where's maybe he's missing some booze. Is it his booze?
Yeah, his parents. Yeah, my mom's.
What's your mom's booze? All right. He started kicking you.
Yes.
And there's something like very disturbing about that image. Like, you know, what, you know, backhanding is, that's bad enough. But after you fall to the ground, he starts kicking you.
Where's my bourbon?
All right. So your dad's not a great guy.
No.
Did you get any bruises or anything?
Yeah.
Why don't you report this?
Because I, like, am scared to.
What's your mom say about this?
She says that. This is what she said to me the next morning. She was like, well, we have three problems here. What you've done, because I had all the alcohol in the room. And my dad's hitting problem, because he hits my brother a lot. Mm-hmm. And her alcoholic problem or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm just like...
Is she prepared to participate in the treatment of all this?
Well, okay. The day after, like, she promised me that would be her last drink, and about a week ago she bought some more tequila.
Well, so, if she's not in recovery, she's going to drink again. That's just
I know. I mean, she is. So,
and you probably have the gene too, and hopefully you won't go. You're heading there, but if you keep going down this path, eventually the switch will get thrown in your brain as well. They will make it impossible for you to stop without some kind of treatment.
Okay. And I had another question. Since my dad is so violent, would I be violent too with my kids?
Your brother.
Yeah, your brother
you
got to
look out for.
You mostly are going to find a guy that will be violent with your kids. That's what's going to happen with you.
Right. Well, maybe you marry your brother and we'll just keep it in the family.
You're going to be very attracted to guys that are abusive like that, unless you get some treatment. That's
the only way
that kind of attraction sort of settles down.
You're asking the right questions, so that's a good sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, you sound much smarter than everyone else in your family. It happens once in a while. Well, the Corollas.
Here's what you need to do, Shannon. If you're not willing to report this, Adam thinks you're the Adam in your family, see? Adam is the Adam in the Corolla family, Shannon is the Adam in her family.
King of the tards over there I was. I mean, listen, you know what it's like to be 13 and know you're twice as smart as anyone in your family?
Oh.
Must be a curse. A curse, I tell you.
Drew. Imagine somebody shrinking you down to a 9-year-old now and then shoving you back in your house. It's like, hey, you can't drive, you got no money, you can't get laid, you got nothing, you can't drink, you can't smoke. You're just sitting there and you're just looking around going, oh my God, these idiots.
Play football.
I got another 10 years with these idiots? Holy Christ. Can I kill myself? Let's see if I can choke on some Captain Crunch or something, which is very plausible, by the way, if you've ever eaten it. You know what I was just thinking about? I was thinking about what should Shannon do, by the way, and then I'll tell you.
She knows that she needs help. She's not willing to report this, so go get the help. Get therapy.
Go to school.
Yeah,
people are equipped to deal with this these days.
Yeah, at the mental health service at your school, as a counselor, or go find somebody, some references in your community, some referrals. Go in and start talking about the problems that you have at home, you'll get through this to the point where you won't tolerate this anymore.
Yeah.
And when it becomes appropriate, you'll be prepared, if necessary, to report them.
Well, and as the sort of smart person of the family or the sane person of the family or both, you have to be smart enough and sane enough to know when to hold up, when to fold up, when to make a stink, and when to quiet down. Mm. And there's a part where it's just like, Drew, if I hit you with a ray, shrunk you down to 13 and dropped in your family, there'd be a part of you, A, you'd be thinking, I got to plan my escape.
Right.
Your first impulse was, I got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Second and third impulse was, I got to kill these people and collect the insurance.
Really? Those are your impulses? Interesting.
I'll stuff them, put them on the sofa, put a pipe in my dad's mouth. No one will know.
Oh, my God.
Hold it.
You make him
staple
seem more animated.
A newspaper to him. You know what I mean? Feel like he fell asleep. I have to keep changing the paper. No, so people don't get suspicious. My first impulse, would be, you know, my first impulse, I got to blow this taco stand. The next one would be like, I'm 13. What am I going to do? I'll get picked up by the cops. I can't get a job. You know, so here's what I'm saying. You got to treat it like that. So, Drew, here's what you would do. Yeah, you would say, all right, I'm going to lay low.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay low. I don't need any trouble. So I'm not, even though my brain has surpassed these people, I'm not chronologically able to do anything or physically able to do anything. So it's always like it's like a Stephen Hawking, like incredible mind. He's trapped in a wheelchair. He can't speak. I mean that's what it would be like if I turned you 13 and sent you back to your house, right?
Yep.
All right. Because you got to be smart enough. You got to lay low.
Yeah.
But I was thinking.
And get yourself some help in the meantime.
You know, it's a sad thing. It's sort of in our country these days. It's okay for parents to have their kids hate them. You know what I mean? Fear them, not respect them. You know what I mean? Like, as a parent, don't you got any ego at all? And maybe you're just too stupid, and maybe it's the ego that's getting in the way in the first place. But you know, to have your kid just despise you, or to fear you, or not to respect you, you know, and I don't mean respect like yes sir, no sir, but I mean just think you're a wise person, a fair person, a good person, you know. I mean, shouldn't you want your kids to sort of think that even if, of course, you're flawed, think you're just the greatest dad in the world, or the greatest mom in the world, or the smartest guy in the world?
But a certain amount of that goes away normally around adolescence.
I understand that, but don't you want them planning their marriage when they're in their... you don't want your daughter in her 20s not wanting to invite you to her marriage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't you want your kid to like you?
Yeah.
Respect you?
Yeah, but they kind of go about... The way they deal with it then is like...
Well, I got to kick them again.
They either do that or they try to treat them the way they treat their other friends. Mm. Rather than being the parent, they want a kid to be the friend, and they beat the crap out of their friend, too, if the friend didn't cooperate with them, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, yeah, when you treat a kid like a friend, hey, they treat you back like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a parent anymore.
Mm-hmm. True. Hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
You have to go back.
We're going back into our family.
You have to go back in your family.
Right.
You go back as a 15-year-old. I believe you ride it out.
15 right was out. The worst.
Yeah, but there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
No. It's not going back to 15, it's you.
At 15. Okay.
It's your mind, your knowledge.
Here's the thing.
Everything
here's the
you
deal.
Know.
Here's the deal. With our current perception of time, because time at 15 was much slower than it is now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now it's walking the park to 18, you blow that taco stand, you work it all out.
So we have our current perception of time. All right.
You are this evening.
Yes.
But you go back into 15.
Fine. No sweat.
All right, 15. You can do.
Yeah.
9, you kill yourself, right?
11, I kill myself.
11?
Yeah.
So what's the over-under for killing yourself?
11.
11 and a half?
Yeah, 11 and a half, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's, for me, it might be 12 and a half, 13. I might have to bump it up a little bit, but yeah. Yeah. But 15, I think, because I can get my driver's license in a year. All right.
No, I think it's cheese a call, at least.
Take a call?
Tease it, at least.
Tease it. Sarah?
Yes?
You're fat, and you got nappy hair.
No. Come on.
What are you talking about?
That's you.
Oh, okay.
Sarah.
How dare you?
What's going on?
Okay, I'm 21, and my question was, I'm only capable of having an orgasm with me in one position. Is that normal? Or
by yourself?
Well, no, but I mean...
With a guy.
Somebody else. All right, hold on a second.
What position?
Did I hear something there?
Smoke detector?
Ooh, I think I heard one.
Huh?
It might have been a little feedback, but it's been a while since we had a smoke detector on this show.
I know. That's what keeps me coming back, too. I keep thinking, tonight's going to be the night. No, we go to break. We go to break,
wait,
and then we
24,
find out.
10 more seconds. Let's find out. All right.
We're teasing.
All right.
Jesus. How many times do I got to explain to you about radio, Drew? We got to take a quick break and get back with... Would you shut up? That's Anderson doing that. And Anderson, don't do that during the call, please.
I would never do that during the call, please.
You have.
No,
I haven't.
I think you have. No. You were high, though, so excuse.
I don't get high. I might have been drunk.
Okay.
Right. There you go.
All right. Coming down. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Sarah after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. No, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You know, it was funny. Drew was telling me tonight that he saw a... What were we just talking about?
Family Guy.
Oh, Family Guy, yeah.
I was destroyed by seeing In America on the Plane.
I got a couple things to talk about. Yeah, the Family Guy, and he said, did you see the Family Guy tonight? And I said, I saw about the first 8 or 10 minutes. And then I said, but I know it's one I liked. I remember thinking it was one I liked. I just never, you know, you see it, you recognize it, and you go, I like this one.
Yeah.
But you don't remember which episode it is. And then he went on later to say that I was in it. So then I thought, oh, that's why I liked it. Maybe it wasn't good. I just remember thinking I'm in it. But it made no I saw 10 minutes of it and it had no register that I was
in it. Yeah.
That I was in it. Thanks for that heads up. Now, I'm going to give a plug to Crank Yankers in the new season, by the way. Fantastic new season. Comedy Central, 10:30, Tuesday nights. Chris, Engineer Chris, you like Crank Yankers?
Yes, I want to thank you for inviting me to be in this new season, too, and help me write an episode.
No problem.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I wasn't in it.
I'm a busy man. All right. Now, Drew flew home from New York.
Yeah.
On his top secret mission, which is over now.
Yes, ending. Super millionaire. Guy wins $1 million.
$1 million.
Yeah.
And he won it on your question.
I think we got him up to 500, and then he did the last one on himself.
Crayola question.
Yes.
What was the... Your question was, is which one of these Crayola crayons is not an actual color?
In the 121 pack, yeah.
In the 121 pack?
Yes.
I didn't even know there was a 121 pack. And gray matter was...
Was the one.
Was
and
the
we
one.
Had we had a low index of suspicion. We were not clear.
What's a low index of suspicion?
We were not... Our confidence was low in our answer.
I would think.
Let me tell you
the hell no.
And Regis is going... You know, we watched the show until the guy gets to 100,000, and then they put us in total blackout seclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there until the stage director goes, Regis is coming to you.
Right.
And he comes, and the clock now is running. You have 30 seconds.
Right.
And in that 30 seconds, he goes, in the box of 121 Crayola crayons,
right,
which color does not belong? Now
right.
You have 20 seconds.
Right.
And by the time he's read the question, you have like 4 seconds.
Let me say this, by the way. You know, whenever they do those lifelines, they always tell the person they have 30 seconds. And the guy calls his professor buddy over at MIT. And he's like, Bert, yeah, hey, thanks. Yeah, good talk to you. They was making a little chit-chat. So it was ridiculous and surreal. And then the guy says, all right, who was the first aviator to go across the Pacific and Atlantic and then come back again? Was it... And they do it. Jimmy Doolittle was it? And they do this thing. Now here's how I would say it. I would say, who was it?
Yeah.
You don't get a choice. Just tell me
if you
know it.
I need this information. Yeah.
Now you give me the name, and that name is number C. I know positively.
Yes.
Because when they read them the four, and the guy goes, who are the? What was D again?
Yeah.
I think it was him.
No.
That doesn't mean anything. You waste time reading.
Absolutely.
Just if the guy knows, the guy's a aviation aficionado. He's gonna know who the guy is,
and
if he gives you that, you know you're in gold. I wonder if they tell them to ask the entire question.
I don't know,
because I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would if the guy needed that.
Regis is the one reading it to us, because then his voice comes in, and then we see it.
Right.
And then we were all like,
Who the hell can figure out which ones were real? And there wasn't... I saw it, and there wasn't any gags in there either.
I know. Oh, no, once you get to this big money now. And it's interesting. They were saying if the person wins too much money, the writers get in trouble.
Oh, really?
They made the questions too easy.
Out of their own pockets.
But if they don't win enough money...
Mm-hmm.
That's not exciting enough either. So,
all right. So you helped the guy win $1 million.
Yeah, we helped.
And how did you know that gray matter was not
my left? To my left was a woman that was a child psychologist for 40 years, and she just said. The other guy with me was a guy who had won $1 million, $1 million. He and I had no idea.
Right.
And she went, "It's gray matter," and I went, "Okay. What are you? Yeah. Okay. That's it. That's all the time we had.
So
we're gone."
Yeah. I see. If I would, they would, the other three would have had to be like Hitler's blood.
That's right.
Porn load white.
Oh my god.
Duke Farm brown, and then, if they would have been just surreal and disgusting,
yeah.
I would have probably. Yeah, I don't even know what I would have done. No, you're right, Drew. I would have never got that one.
Yeah.
And then been angry.
Yeah.
And then blame someone other.
And then
wonder
why I went to New York.
Yeah. And then Drew.
They'll talk about the next hour.
All right. Sarah?
Yes.
All right, so you have sex. You're 21.
Mm-hmm.
You have sex with your boyfriend.
And you have orgasm during intercourse.
Yeah, only with me on top, though.
But you understand
right.
just
only
the
with you on top.
Yeah,
that's
you understand just the fact that you can do it at all puts you in an elite category.
Okay.
You understand that? The very few women, only about 30, 40% of women can have orgasm during intercourse at all.
30 or 40. Try zero.
No, it's relatively uncommon. So the fact that you can do it at all sort of puts you in an elite group. And then the fact that it's with a particular position, that sort of
Yeah,
that's
listen, you gotta rub on that stuff, you know.
Well,
I
was just wondering if it had anything to do with security issues.
No, it's your.
Well, now it does.
Well, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. But if it's you got your, if you got work. Raped or abused, then now it's weird when a guy's on top of you.
Well, I was in a marriage and it was abusive, and so I was just wondering if that had anything to do with it.
No.
Did you have orgasm before in other positions at other times in your life?
No, I got married really young.
Yeah, look, this is just how you're configured. Yeah. It's just you. It's fine.
No, you get okay. stimulation when you're on top.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
Good. It's good.
Sorry about your abusive marriage, but hey, you got out.
Yeah.
The guy went to jail, right?
No.
No,
right,
but that's
you got
the,
out.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's healthy. You're right, exactly. You get out of there, get something better going on, okay?
Okay.
No, Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. We're not saying that marriage should be sort of cast off cheaply, but you were in, no kids, big mistake, you got out in time.
Kids.
No kids?
I have kids.
Oh.
You. What's wrong? How do we know? Drew, why'd you think she didn't have kids? I heard a
21.
Smoke detector.
Really?
Uh-oh, this is going to be tough now. Sarah?
Yeah. Hello?
Is there a smoke detector
going off near you?
No.
We're going to have to come back and find out.
I think that'd be enough for us.
No.
Is there a smoke detector in your apartment?
Not where I'm at, no.
All right, hold on. Okay. Don't go anywhere.
We'll also see if she's on the birth control. She may be.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Come on. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Okay. Drew. So Drew was... That's the old Mexican woman who answers the phone when you try to call one.
Ask for somebody in the family.
Ask for someone in the family.
Yeah.
Hi, is...
That's Waldo.
Is Dolores there? Dolores? No! No, she's not home! Okay, can you tell her Adam called? It sounds like... Listen, old lady, relax. It's not the INS. And by the way, where's the WHO come from? Your daughter's 46. You're 79. That's the one. That's her name. I was a little confused. It always makes me think I called the wrong number. All right. We got to get moving here, Drew. What's going on? You were on the plane today.
Yeah, I came back from the Ultra Super Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And watched the movie In America and was ended up sobbing for 10 minutes afterwards.
Really?
Like some sort of like little girl. I mean, it was to the point where to compose myself.
Stewardess noticed you doing that?
A group of them gathered and was like,
oh, really?
Oh, my goodness.
Chicks?
Yeah.
That got them wet. Chicks love it when a guy cries.
No, I'm not sure. I think I freaked them out because they were like, they wouldn't like make eye contact after that.
Not because they were embarrassed because they'd ruin some panties. Yeah. They love it. They love it when a guy gets all sensitive on
it. How about when they just lose it, though?
Yeah. Well. So what happened? It was a great movie.
Great movie. Just, I mean, such a beautiful story and so well rendered.
And if you can enjoy a movie on a plane too, that's got to be a pretty good movie. I heard it was a great movie.
Yeah, it's just.
What's it called again?
In America.
Yeah, see, I always want to say Coming to America.
Yeah, it's beautifully conceived, beautifully executed. Mm-hmm. Acting is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not the happy film of the year.
No.
And I watched the...
It's nominated for a thing.
It's well-deserving. And I thought, I watched the trailer and I thought, uh-oh, I don't know if I should watch this. But it's actually, it's not maudlin.
Right.
It's not sappy.
But it's touching.
Touching, very.
Tearjerker.
Mm, beautiful.
Tear crying.
But beautiful.
Not even drunk.
Well, a little bit.
You had a drink?
Yeah, well.
You have a highball.
Get a little drunk. No big deal. No big deal.
Listen.
Maybe that's why I freaked the girls out.
Good for your blood. A little red wine.
Kidding.
Oh, no?
Yeah, kidding.
Here's how I learned I was an alcoholic tonight.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I was over at a friend of mine's house working on a script, and I told him I'd swing by for 45 minutes, an hour before I came here. And on the way here, I thought to myself, hey, Ace Man's out of red wine. So I thought, I'll swing by a liquor store on my way over to my buddy's house, grab myself a little red wine. You know, it's my medicine. I like myself a couple glasses of red wine. Helps me unwind when I get home. And I was just running late to the guy's house and weaving my way through the city like I always do. And it turns out I didn't pass any liquor stores that were open. And I pulled up in the guy's house, and then we started working on the script. And it was like, okay, now it's 9:40, and I got to get going. And I thought to myself, no liquor stores between here. I mean, there may be a 7-Eleven or two where you get Shiv putting you in some bad neighborhood between this guy's place and the studio. And secondly, I now have 17 minutes to make it. And this guy's over in L.A. So I think to myself, but what about my medicine? So I say to him, listen.
You take it from him.
You got a bottle of...
Oh, my God.
You got a bottle of red? He's like, what do you mean? I need a bottle of booze for the road. He's like, huh? I'm not going to drink it in a car.
Did you? When he said, I don't have it, you throw him against the wall and go, God, I got to have it.
I grabbed him by the lapels and I shook him, banged his head against the wall until he fessed up. Yeah. Then a bottle slid out of his pant leg and I picked it up and I yelled, aha. Uh-huh. Now,
Eureka.
I said, yeah, you got any booze? I said, I got a bottle. I said, look, I don't want your charity. Mm-hmm. And I flipped him $20. You know the most disturbing part?
Didn't.
Oh, absolutely. You know he did? He didn't say anything. He just went, all right. And I thought to myself, hey, wait a minute. You're supposed to at least argue with me. I like the part where I insist. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I like the part where I go, listen, I'm giving you $20 for this wine. I like the part where you go, no.
Yeah.
And then I go, nah, listen, this is the kind of guy I am. I'm a stand-up guy. Here you go. I take the $20. I insist. I'll take the $10 bottle of wine.
You're right. My dad's an alcoholic. Here you go.
Yeah, you go.
I know this drill.
So I got the bottle rolling around the car now. Hey, Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to go to the room in the house that has the smoke detector.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on a second.
Oh, you don't have the...
What?
You can't take the phone with you?
No extended phone.
Yeah, I'm going. I was going to attempt to put a robe on first, but... I'll go. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm actually standing, right under it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. And we're just going to have a fake conversation and see...
Quiet one, though.
See if the ticker goes off. Now, you have kids.
Yes.
And so you got the orgasm thing. You got out of the abusive relationship.
Yeah.
The kids are from the abusive guy?
One is.
Oh, boy.
Perfect. How's the abusive guy with his kid?
He's great with the kids. He just wasn't... Well, actually, I should say he's great with his kid. But
how many kids do you have?
He has two.
Yeah, I have two.
All right. That's enough, by the way.
I plan on having no more children.
When did the human get to be like a cat?
And by the way, what's the plan on... how are you going to execute the plan of not having any more kids?
Well, I want to get my tubes tied.
Ooh, we like that.
All right, but in the meantime, you could crap out three more kids.
No, thank you.
What are you using for birth control?
Well, actually, right now I'm not having sex at the moment.
All right, that could all change this weekend.
You know, I think the
but hopefully not.
Birth control.
A certain fact, I'm very fertile. And I get that from my mother.
I know, but hold on a second. Drew, quiet down with your
crazy
thoughts.
The right now bothers me.
Quiet down. All right. First off, her smoke detector battery is not low.
Yeah.
I've deduced that. Number two, you're very fertile. You're not on any birth control. You're in a relationship, right?
Kinda.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you have no more plans of having any kids, but I'm doing the fertile math.
And the relationship math.
And you might have another kid.
I get your point.
You understand that that thing you do when you have orgasm is something that leads to children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's your plan? I know in the future you want to get your tubes tied, but you got to get on some birth control, don't you?
Well, we use condoms.
All right.
They're using condoms. All right. Just be sure that if there's any dysfunction of the condom or it slips off or anything, get the morning after pill.
You're very fertile. That's all.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody, don't make me give you the speech about screwed up people cranking out screwed up kids destroying this planet. And look at everybody. You just get a bunch of people that have good jobs and love each other, and they have a couple kids, and they nurture them and love them, and they send them to college, and all of a sudden, everyone sleeps all summer long with their front doors open and just a screen door shut.
Yeah.
That's all. That's it. Nobody, we don't have to worry anymore. Well, no alarms and nothing. And we just got to go mop up in the Middle East a little bit. That's all. The good folks over there. It's all going to work out. I was watching the news today. They're this close. They're crossing the T's. They're dotting the I's. They almost got that whole thing worked out over there. Israel's building a little wall. A couple guys came out to protest. A couple folks on the Israeli side dragged the bus that the Palestinians blew up the other day. And I guess what, some rock throwing started. A little skirmish.
What happened to the bus? I don't hear this.
Oh, idiots.
They pulled the blown up bus out?
The Israel is now attempting just to build a wall around Israel. Yeah, the geniuses over there. How much more? Let me just say this, by the way. I'm an atheist, so none of this stuff makes any sense to me. How many more billions of dollars we got to funnel into that S patch over there to help the folks? I know they're the last bastion of democracy in it, but at a certain point, go ahead and fold up the tent and move out of the ashtray.
Yeah.
And just let all the nut jobs kill each other over there. Because believe me, when they don't have the Israelis to focus on, take about 15, 20 minutes, and then they'll start focusing on each other, and then they'll start killing. Because, you got to kill. You got to throw a rock at somebody. Eventually, just throw it at a mirror with your own reflection in it. It's a geniuses. The point is Israel idiots for not moving out of there in the first place to their holy land, all this nonsense. Oh, my God. There's people with their religion, Drew. It's sad. Scary. Sad. But the other thing is they're building a wall to go around there. Palestinians don't like it because their thing is like, hey, a couple bad apples blow up a couple of buses, 70 times a year. And all of a sudden, everyone gets a bad name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really like saying, look, so several thousand people die on the beaches every year from shark attacks. Should we put a net up? Nah.
That's a couple. It's not the shark's fault.
It's not shark's fault. Not all of them. There's a couple of bad shark seeds in there. It's several thousand people. But anyway, they build a fence. The Palestinians don't like it. The Israelis don't like the fact the Palestinians don't like it. They come out, do a little protest. They drag the bus that they blew up yesterday. And then they start throwing the rocks. They got the rocks over there. But here's the point. Can't judge. We cannot judge. This is a different culture we don't understand. And we cannot judge. There's no bad. There's only different. Right, Drew?
Yes,
we've learned that,
Mrs. Corolla.
Learned that from watching, listening to public radio. No bad, only different. And even though if you turned on the news in 1973, you'd hear about the same story about the unrest in the Middle East and the Palestinians. Just a matter of days before they clear this one up. Just a matter of days. They'll get that done. Yeah.
True? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Because when both parties want to work it out.
Are reasonable, yes.
Yeah, this is, you know what it is? The Israelis and the Palestinians, they're like a couple that really loves each other that's into therapy. They both want this to work. And there was a couple infidelities on both sides and maybe a little bad blood over promotion that never happened. But, each couple, they really want to work it out so badly. Just a matter of days before.
Kim, 25.
Before the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Hi, Kim. Dr. Drew.
What's happening? And again, I don't judge. We can't judge.
Let's see. I'm 25 years old, and I'm actually in the process of a divorce. Been separated almost 6 months now. And about a month and a half ago, I met this guy online, actually in a divorce chat room, and we started talking and found out we had a lot in common. And after a couple of nights, we started talking on the phone. And within 2 weeks, I mean, we were talking like every night for like 5 hours a night. And just,
oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. It's like a lot in common and just, really great feeling. And
Hold on a second. Tell us about this guy. What does he do? This kind of stuff.
Well, I live in Chicago and he lives in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he was in the Army for a while and he's out of the Army for the past year now. He's just doing kind of like general labor things.
And where is the what do you do?
I work for a design firm. I run a design firm, like the office.
Oh, that's so much in common. He's a grunt and a laborer, and she's a manager at a design firm.
There's more, than just what we do.
And by the way, let me just say something. You know how when you meet someone online, it's like, well, if you're 5'9", you make yourself 6'1".
Yeah.
And if you're 235, you make yourself 195 pounds.
Yeah.
When you actually say you were drummed out of the Army and now you're doing day labor work, you're physically raping somebody at that time.
At that moment.
You have to actually be killing a prostitute in order to get to day labor. Like,
right.
If that's your step
up. You just finished killing a prostitute.
You're just mopping up the blood of a prostitute. And shoving them in the crawl space on your mom's house. Ugh. if you go day labor. Because you always pop up a few more notches from where you are.
Oh, the guys, God. Especially. Guys,
oh,
especially.
Yeah. Guys are notorious liars. All right. Sorry, Kim. Go ahead.
No, so...
We love this guy, by the way.
Yeah.
I can tell.
He's doing a little construction labor.
And after about 2 weeks of talking on the phone, he took the train out to see me and everything, and he stayed here for about a week, and we hit it off really great.
Why didn't he fly out?
Just because it was cheaper for him to take the train out here.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
$6
cheaper, and it takes an extra
2 days.
3 days.
That was like a 17-hour train ride.
That's what we're saying.
Flight's an hour and 35 minutes, it's $86. The train is 4 days and...
75.
4 days and 19 hours, and it's 75. Well, with tax, it's $81.
And the food, you have to eat.
You got to pay for the peanuts. All right.
The thing that's kind of scary now is that neither of us are divorced yet. I mean, I'm almost divorced. Within the next month, everything will be finalized, as will his. But he says he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am kind of, like, scared because it's like, I've only known him for about a month and a half, and I was hurt really badly with my husband, how he cheated on me and everything.
Mm.
What kind of upbringing did you have? Were you like in a real isolated, like in a private parochial school or something?
No, I went to for a couple years to Catholic school, and then it was public schools.
Hold on a second.
No,
I went to parochial school. I just asked if you went to parochial school, to Catholic school.
No, I went to
for a couple years.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to sort of sleuth out whether or not your family kept you in kind of a protected upbringing.
Not really. I mean, my parents, my dad's kind of, he's manic.
He's a warden.
He's away, and he was very protective and strict with me growing up.
Hold on, put her on hold, please. A reenactment. I'm just trying to sleuth out whether their parents were being very, very protective of you or anything during your upbringing.
Not really. My dad was away a lot. He was very strict, very protective.
What is it tonight? What is it?
Not a parochial school, but I was raised by six nuns and the Pope. Pope was actually my gym coach. Mm-hmm.
But
the Pope would yell to climb the rope, and we did because he would poke at us with his Pope stick.
With his mitre.
I think he has a scepter or something, too, does he not?
With a Pope stick, yes.
Well, his car is the Pope Mobile. Why isn't his scepter the Pope stick?
Yes. I think he has like a shepherd's staff or something. Yeah. So she's making my points over and over here.
All right, but not really.
1-3.
All right, Kim.
Yeah.
What do you do again?
I work for a design firm. Mm-hmm. I basically run all the administrative and the bookkeeping, make sure everything's taken care of.
All right. Now, listen.
What we're getting at is you seem extremely naive and unsophisticated about people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's why I was sort of going down the path of being very protected and not having a lot of experiences with people in life. And you're sort of making that case for us that you did have that kind of an upbringing.
Do you have any kids?
No, I don't. No.
Oh, God bless you.
Did you have sex with this?
I'm going to send you out a windbreaker and a Pope stick.
Did you have sex with this guy while he was out with you?
Yes, we did.
All right.
He what?
He stayed with me at my apartment when he came out.
Man does not spend 74 hours on a train through to walk away dry penis.
But this guy's behavior is Sort of on the margin of bizarre. Even before he started saying I love you. Well, desperate. Okay, so desperate that it's nearly bizarre.
Yes. Here's the whole thing, Kim. Here's how it goes. And it's very sad, but it's true, unfortunately. And even the noblest guy should admit this. When things aren't going too good for you, drummed out of the service and working as a construction laborer, and as a former construction laborer,
Yeah, you'll tell us about what that means.
That's horrible. You just dig all day and clean up trash, basically. You clean up the job site and you scrape. You do the grunt. You do the crap work.
Yeah.
And you just scrape concrete and stuff like that and haul stuff to the dumpster. It's a crappy job. You get paid nothing. Hey, if you know someone who has a condo, that's big time.
Yeah.
So everything's relative.
Yeah.
Here's someone who has a decent job, a decent life, sort of emotionally vulnerable, but probably has her... you know, makes a paycheck and everything.
Yeah.
She's looking pretty damn good to you, who's living in Pittsburgh and pushing a broom. So you, take a 3-week-long train ride out to see her, and of course you're in love. She's a life preserver.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not to say that she's not a good person, but the whole reason you're excited... Look, the guy who drives his vintage Ferrari out there, and he's got to get back to the office because they're doing a groundbreaking on his fifth franchise on Monday. He magically doesn't fall in love in 6 weeks. He's got enough going on that he's not lured into that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think more than that, though, somebody that is sort of whole, forget just not desperate, but also whole, isn't going to say things like that so quickly. I mean, she's really building the case of a stalker, frankly.
and that's
what concerns me. And she's way in with this guy that she doesn't even know.
The guy's back in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
maybe she should
leave
there. And she just barely, Kim, you're just barely getting divorced.
Yeah.
You had a bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Shake it off. Get a hand in. Grab a knee. All right, let's go now. Don't sit on your helmet. It's not a chair. You understand?
I get it.
Let's go now, baby. What do you say now? You're better than this. You hear me?
Ease your way out of this. This is just kind of tell them the distance doesn't work.
You don't need this.
You don't want a relationship right now.
You go to you. You get a vibrator. You hit the gym, all right, baby?
You
go to one of them chick-only gyms.
You guys can all be angry at once, men. Are you okay enough to let this go?
I've really kind of started to fall for me. Like, he's called me every day since he's left. And
all right. You guys get married now. That's a bunch of kids.
Oh, boy.
All right, listen, I'm done. I'm done, Drew.
I know.
Except for Becca.
Hello?
Becca?
Hi.
14. What's happening?
Oh, a lot of stuff. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have a long-distance relationship right now.
Yeah, fantasy phone.
At 14, but I'm turning 15 in May.
Too young. Oh, you're turning 15.
Yeah, I'm turning.
Oh, that makes it all the difference.
Drew, remember the day we went from 14? I went from 14 to 17. What'd you go from 14 to?
It went so fast, I can't remember.
All right. So you're going to become 15.
Yeah, and he's
And then you'll
15.
Be old enough to drive across country with your learner's permit and have sex with this guy?
Well, he's 16 and he lives in L.A. and I live in Minnesota.
Oh,
and
boy.
He's coming to visit me.
Yeah?
What?
Oh, good.
He's coming to visit.
Do me a favor, Becca.
Okay.
I'm trying to get everyone out of L.A. I've had an ass full of these people. Do me a favor. Next time anyone from L.A. visits, cut their brake lines and their fuel line of their car and puncture their tires and just have
get them
a job at the general store, wherever they, you know, give them to fall in love with heroin or ice fishing or something.
How'd you meet this guy?
Just keep him there.
Well, I saw people ice fishing this weekend. I was in Schenectady, New York.
All right, quiet down.
Ice fishing.
Becca?
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
I met him on my vacation at LA.
To LA.
You went to LA.
I went to San Diego for a wedding, and then my family went up to LA, and I met him.
Mm-hmm. And what was he doing? Where'd you meet him?
I met him, through some friends I know there.
Mm-hmm. Some mutual friends, huh?
Yeah.
All right. And he drove out to visit you? Or you want him to drive it?
He flew out to visit me twice. And I don't know, I know I'm really young, but I feel like I'm really close to him. Like, he's you know, he's like one of my best friends, or I thought he was, yeah. And, you know.
You thought he was?
Yeah. Ooh, well, wait a second.
Wait, we got to take a break.
Hang on a second. Oh,
hang on, Rebecca.
Hang on.
We're going to get into this.
How does it work with your parents, by the way, when you're 14?
And how about him flying him out? So is it 16? With the? I got to hear more about this.
But this is it.
Because I'm putting firewalls up in my house. Make sure it doesn't happen.
You put that wall that Israel's putting around it.
You count me in.
It's going to work like a charm through that wall. It's going to make a lot of happy folks over there.
Yeah.
All right. You guys said.
Have a good time, though. Takes all kinds.
Hey, I got a more comfortable living environment for Israel. They should build the wall all the way around so it makes a circle, and then fill it with tar about 8 feet deep. Be better. Be nice. During the summer?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. It's got a nice smell to it, tar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'd call Los Angeles then.
That's right.
Or, no, make an attraction. Yeah, we'll just call it a tarp.
That's right. All right, let's take a little break. We'll be back with Becca. We're going to find out how the guy from L.A. has flown out two times, a 16-year-old.
And then how her parents allow this and what. We need a lot more information.
All after this. Hey, yo. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's my partner and on again, off again lover. Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800.
Are we off again?
No, no.
You only say that when we're freaking
off
out.
Off again, on again. How about that? The ass is half full. Dr. Drew, fresh off his triumphant trip to New York City. All right. Now, when
did
we left
fart?
Off. No.
Chris, you?
No. That's a high hat. When we left off, we're speaking to
Becca.
Becca. Becca is 14.
Hello?
Becca met a guy when she was in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Minnesota.
And he's 16. They met out here, and he's since flown twice to Minnesota. How does that work? How does a 16-year-old manage that?
Well, I think his dad pays for it, or he might, like, I think sometimes he works and he, like, earns his money and he comes out here.
But hold on a second. Don't you think his parents might have sort of issues with that?
Well, he lives with his dad, and he's not, like, in touch with his mom at all.
Oof.
So,
is dad real wealthy or something?
He's not, I mean, they're well off. I don't know, like, how wealthy they are, you know?
All right. And how about your parents with this guy coming out? Are they okay with that?
Well, like, my dad isn't as much, but they really like him, and they trust him, and I guess they respect him. So he stays at my house, and I think they feel as long as they have the control under their roof, you know?
And so they've let you stay there. They feel he's under the control. They trust him. And so what's the question?
Okay. Well, there's kind of two points I wanted to get across, but...
What's the question?
When he was here... well, this is, like, my first time doing anything, like, sexual... Well, not my first time, but... This is the only guy I've done stuff with this far.
What's the question?
Drew thought he was going to ride a little ironic momentum into parents trusting. So he thought, let's try some decent radio. We'll do a segue because she's one breath saying my dad trusted him, and the second one it has to do with getting semen out of fabric because they already flipped the sofa pillow once.
But no.
Andrew thought for a second. Thought for a second he was going to get one of our callers to go along with him. Hey, and he made a valiant attempt after the third time. She didn't want to, one more time. Nah, true. You understand?
That's why you give it.
Getting our callers to do anything. It's like trying to get your cat to do something.
You're right.
They do zero. Yeah. And the more you want them to hop up on your lap.
I got to get a laser pointer.
The less
you're going to.
You need a squirt gun.
Yeah.
All right, Becca, what is the question?
Okay, well, I gave him oral sex, and he did the same for me. And recently, he told me that he had a cut on his genitalia, and he told me that it really hurt. So the next day, he goes and he gets it tested at like the hospital, he said, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did like blood tests and everything, and he has 80% chance of having herpes.
Yeah, it sounds like herpes.
Yeah, and he, that day he called me up and he's like, this isn't going to change anything between us and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I love you.
That's
and
nice.
He's like, but I think I got it from you. And then I'm like, because there was a whole other part of him lying and, like, cheating, and then I, like, forgave him. And he, I guess he, like, did some stuff like that with some other girls, too, but didn't tell me about it.
Have you had any, do you get cold sores in your mouth?
Yeah, when I gave him head, I had a cold sore, and he, like, I didn't really think of anything of it. And then, like, when we were, like, making out, I guess he got one, too, on his mouth.
Yeah, but your cold sore on your mouth is also what gave it to his penis.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. But
No, Becca. That's what did it, for sure.
That's what he thinks.
For sure.
We'll let God decide.
For sure.
What if it was from any other girl that he could have gotten?
It'd be too wild a coincidence that you should have a cold sore, transmit it to his mouth, him having no previous knowledge of that, you know, not understanding when he sort of thought he had a cut on himself. He wouldn't have announced it, you know, if he had tried to hide herpes or, you know, or known he had outbreaks before.
I'm just picturing Dad down at the kitchen.
Yeah.
Kid comes out. Oh, somebody slept late.
Oh.
Really?
Can we make your omelet, son?
I'm doing a lumberjack stack. What are you in for? You like the pure maple or you like the boysenberry? Oh, I gotta tell you what, son. I'll give you both. You got a pubic hair in you. Other side. Got it. All right, son, sit on down. Can I do you for some fresh squeeze? What the hell you think is going on? True, that's it.
What?
You can't build a wall around your house.
Bars. Just no. Take a jail.
Listen, oh, my God.
With lasers.
You got that daughter. You got that crazy wife.
Tripwires.
She's going to be dressing her like she's on Sex in the City when she's 13 years. She's going to be wearing like bolos and stiletto heels. You watch that wife of yours. She's going to be dressing.
No.
Watch out. You watch out. Let me tell you where you keep that daughter of yours.
Yeah.
You keep, don't go down, go up. You put her on a weather balloon.
Moon.
No, just tether her to like a weather balloon.
All right. No tether.
No, she'll get away. She'll get away.
All these crazy guys will shoot me
no,
up.
You tether at the top of the house.
Uh-oh.
In World War II.
Dirigible pole.
They used to have.
Dirigible poles.
They'd have, you know, they had the cables. They had a whole netting and stuff. They would hang.
Oh, yeah,
they would
just
hang those balloons up there for dive bombers.
Right, get tangled
up in them.
Yeah.
Just get one of those, couple hundred feet of cable. One of those, you know, size of a camper. Strap her up there. Give her some trail mix. You got to pull the thing down. You know, during the winter, it's up to three times a month. You got to bring it down. Meanwhile, she gets an education up there. You send her up to your greater work and send her back up. And she just hovers above the house.
Is it wireless internet?
Yeah, send her up there. Yeah. She gets the wireless internet. She gets a laptop. She's up there. Mm. You know, when she wants to come down, She signals you by throwing a shoe onto the roof. That's how you know. And that's when you reel her. You reel her back down.
Yeah.
Yay, you let her get out of the harness a little, move around, and, you know, crap her, and right back up. That's how you got to raise her. Raise her like a dirigible.
Okay.
All right?
All right, Becca. Let's get her back.
Hello?
Yeah, Becca.
So I was just wondering, like, what are the risks for me? Would I have it for the rest of my life if I have it oral herpes or how?
Yes, you have it. You have it in your mouth, and you will have that the rest of your life. So whenever you have an outbreak, if you give somebody oral sex, you will transmit that virus. Now, you could also do it even when you don't have an outbreak, so you also obviously have to be very, very careful. My concern also is, did you get genital herpes since this guy did the same for you, as you said? Do you have any symptoms?
What are the symptoms? I don't see anything. I don't feel anything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you're probably okay that way.
Are you living with your dad and your mom?
What?
You're living with your dad and your mom?
Yeah.
How big is your house, by the way?
You pulled this off.
It's pretty big. I don't know. We have, like, a guest. He stays in the guest room, and, like, then we have a basement, and sometimes they leave because they're not always home, you know?
Oh my God.
What is up with the parents?
God.
They're not always home.
Well, what do you want? This guy's flown in. Oh, Christ. When I was 16, I was begging one of my friends to let me try his moped.
Begging.
That was it. Just, I'll go around the block. You can hold my ceramics project. No. I was probably begging my parents to get me a yearbook or something at school. I'm flying from L.A. to Minnesota, banging around with a 14-year-old, flying back multiple times at 16. Holy Christ.
Well, let's make sure we answered all her questions. All right. One last swipe with Becca.
No.
Becca, was there anything else?
Yeah. So then, if I ever have any more activity with other people, should I tell them?
Well, I think you should.
Yeah. Especially, your dad may not, he may start flying in people internationally to screw around with you. I mean, he may not limit himself to the contiguous United States. He may be going into Canada, into Europe, even the Middle East.
In a way, it's sort of quaint. This guy's telling you he loves you and he keeps coming out. He's interested in you. He's into you. But at your age, this isn't likely to last, with the distance and all involved. Even though he seems to have the resources to kind of overcome some of those things.
Yeah. This is 14.
And there's
Drew.
The internet. Yeah, I know. 14. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, okay.
But almost 15.
No, she'll be 15.
Yeah.
Not really almost. She'll be.
When? Just for kicks.
12 and a half months from now. Okay.
Last brush.
Becca, when are you going to be?
When's your birthday? What month?
May.
May?
Yeah.
May what?
8th.
May. All right.
March, April, May.
Not close enough to be...
3 months.
You're 3 months away from your birthday.
Yeah.
All right. That ain't almost anything. Chris?
Hi.
Hey.
Wow.
Oh, thank God for Chris. What's up, baby doll? You're 23.
Yeah. My question is, I've been married to my husband for almost 2 years now.
It's funny, I'm married to a husband. Good.
Yeah.
For about 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to have an orgasm with him, but the guy I dated before him, I had orgasms with him. So I'm curious why I'm not able to have one with my husband.
And does your husband know this?
Yeah, we finally decided to call because, he knows so.
Okay.
And he knows that you're not having them, or he knows you used to have them with somebody else?
He knows both. That I have had them in the past, and that
both.
I'm not having them with him.
And All right. Well, let's take a little break here and then tackle this, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we have some more questions, and we hopefully have some answers here.
Well, the last guy, it could be anything. He was hung like a black rhino. He was a black rhino. Actually, and it's the crazy positions and the toys and the added partners.
And I really loved him.
And we were in love, and I was attracted to him.
He was great looking, big shoulders, muscular.
Broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. All right. Everyone knows you don't give no lip to Big John. They should write songs like that now, Drew. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll get back with Chris, 23. I like that. I like the sort of progressive nature of their relationship. The husband wants to give her an orgasm. He's a secure enough guy. He's not taking it personally. We're going to work this out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out after this. Hey. It's a love line. Who is this, Anderson?
This is the Strokes, Adam.
It's my Strokes, yeah. It's my band.
Sounds great.
My new song, yeah. It's my band. This is a song that's playing when I enter the bar.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You've changed your song.
They've changed your bar. Now, picture me walking in slow motion.
Yeah. Hair blowing back.
Hair blowing. Leather jacket slung.
Oh, wait, your hair doesn't blow.
Slung. No, but I'm moving in slow motion. Chicks, ladies, checking me out, sliding their glasses down, looking at me. Guys in fear. Guys getting ready to rack up a cue. Getting down, ready to break. Look it up. Look in fear. Bartender, everyone. Everyone knows.
And here's what they notice. Here's what they see when they look at you. I know.
Here's what they hear, Drew.
Well, it's what they see, too. It's representative of what they see.
Oh, Drew, forget it. You screwed up the whole joke. Here's what they notice.
I'm too tired.
Hey, you guys realize that I'm the one who came up with that whole little bit that we've done numerous times?
Yeah.
Yeah, this little pat myself on the back a little.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Wait, yeah.
Someone's got to do it.
As soon as you're gone, I'm going to take credit for it. And then people will tell me it's a lame idea, and I'll say, well, Anderson thought of it.
That's my move. Yeah,
that was Anderson. He started playing the goofy music. My original theme song?
That was Jimmy Eat's World, who's another band that we should talk about as our friends of the show that we're...
Oh, yeah. Nice guys. Yeah, we'll get them back. Anyway, Chris.
Hi.
All right, so we're going to work your stuff out. I like you guys.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now, Chris, this is my song. Picture me entering the bar.
Yeah,
all hits turning. All hits turning.
Oh, yeah.
Walking in slow motion. Guy scared. Chick swooning as I pass by. Again, that stride, that confident slow motion stride. Yeah. Just seeing my boots. My very
beginning
expensive
of Saturday
boots.
Night Fever.
Yeah, moving along the floor. Jacket slung over. Oh.
Chris hears this.
That's right. All right. Now we got the joke right. Okay. Last boyfriend gave you an orgasm through intercourse, through oral sex,
through
or through both? Through intercourse.
Ooh, boy.
Tall order. And now your current man, husband, can he give you one through oral sex?
No.
Ooh.
Now, in oral sex, I've never had one because I get to, like, this certain point.
Yeah, it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
I'm that way, too, except for then I come. Other than that, we are the same.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I bet your man could get me there.
Oh, I don't think he'd want to get you there.
Well,
okay.
I'd have to ask him.
All right.
Okay, so, now what
we're
pea-footing around the issue, but what is so different about what the new guy's doing versus what the old guy's doing? And if the answer's nothing, then tell us.
Nothing that I can think of. I mean, I even
How about you get on top and grind away a little bit, give yourself a little stimulation.
We've tried that, and I really don't like it.
How about the vibrator? You ever try the vibrator?
I don't like those. I've tried them, and I don't know. They just don't do anything for me.
Okay. Are you on any medication or birth control pills now?
Birth control pills, yeah.
Is that a new thing for you?
No.
You were on that with the previous boyfriend?
Yeah.
Right? Same exact pill?
Yeah.
Are you on any other medication?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had children since then?
No.
Mm-hmm. No, how dare you?
Was there something about the old guy, like... I'm not talking about penis size here, but I just mean his attitude. Was he a bad boy or something?
No.
No.
The only thing I can really think of that was a difference is he weighed a lot more than my husband. So I'm thinking maybe if he's on top of me with all that additional weight.
Was he fat?
Maybe that was doing something.
Was he fat?
Yeah, he weighs a good 50 to 100 pounds more than my husband.
Right. Well, he doesn't need to be fat, though. Your husband could be, Ichabod Crane, and this guy could be a linebacker.
My husband's very, very thin.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, there's a guy was telling us, a sociologist, a guy mm-hmm. studied some sociology, was telling me that there was a study that tried to control for everything, every variable, mm-hmm. and the only thing that they could associate with the probability of women having orgasm with intercourse was the size of the guy, the width of their shoulders.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
Hmm.
Huh.
That's I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that is out there as some data.
Well, I mean, the orgasm's a sort of primitive wiring.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's just wired into a very visceral, primitive thing that wants to be taken
by a
larger species, the species.
Wants to keep those genes perpetuated. You know,
the bigger genes.
The bigger genes, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to crap out any dwarfs. Interesting.
Does that sound at all plausible for you? Can you?
She doesn't know.
You can't connect.
I guess it's a possibility.
But it's not something consciously you have any awareness of.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So here's the whole thing. What about Viagra for someone like Chris? Maybe you try it. Maybe it kickstarts you.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. The things like Levitra, Cialis now are being Viagra. Yeah,
give one of those a try. See if it kickstarts you.
You can talk to your doctor about it. That's a good idea.
You don't head into the bedroom with an agenda or a mission. You don't have to reach the moon every time. Just see if you can fire up the number one and number two rockets. And then if you're going good, you get to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going with that sort of agenda, let's see if I can outdo it.
The guys are also the ones that get screwed up about that. They gotta fix things like the science experiment.
They do, but women screw themselves
they
up
get
by the expectations
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Orion?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yeah, I'm 24 years old.
Ugh.
What's up?
What's up?
I have these sores on the bottom of my feet. It's been about 4 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And then I was running a whole bunch too, but I shower at the gym. And then like, I started putting antifungal cream on them. I have, like, really sensitive skin. And then...
What's your question exactly?
I'm trying to get rid of this stuff, and I keep...
Well, listen, Orion, you're not a dermatologist.
You know he's not a dermatologist.
You can't quite describe these things to me. You got to take to somebody...
Well, he smokes a fair amount of weed.
Are you addicted to any drugs or anything?
I started taking something called Grizzpig.
That's for fungus.
Right. I picked up some fungus from...
Well, the doctor... Griziofulvin, which is what that is...
Grizzpig?
Griziofulvin. It's a...
Holy Christ, it's the world's worst name for a
drug. You've got to get back to the doctor and see what is going on. I wonder if it's almost related to the medication, because that's an unusual medication to prescribe for
yeast. All right, back to the doctor. Hey, wait, you go to a podiatrist?
Dermatologist.
Mario.
Yeah, what's up?
You're 19. You have a split stream of urine.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Only in the morning?
Well, not necessarily in the morning. Sometimes if after having gone for a while, like when I start to urinate, it'll go up in two streams.
Yeah. Have you ever had any sexually transmitted infections?
No.
And are you sexually active now?
Yeah.
Are you wearing a condom?
This happened before that also.
Mm-hmm.
It means there's a urethral inflammation, the tip of the penis basically kind of inflamed, and that can be, some people get that just from wearing a condom, some people get it from STDs. It's just something you ought to have investigated just to make sure it's not something funky going
Drew,
on.
Drew, you were telling me
It's usually nothing.
I think you said off the air you had that, and it turned out just to be a piece of Duke that was stuck in there.
Yeah, but it was yours, so it was very, very touching.
Right, I remember I was thinking, I'm missing some Duke. Where is it? And I was like, Drew's like, oh, I got your Duke.
Right here. Come on, let's go to break.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, everybody, that's the show. God bless you for listening. 3 days grace in tomorrow night. Dave Navarro. After that, we can ask him about his high colonic.
Oh, I can't wait.
Difference between a high colonic and a colonic.
We'll find out.
All right. So, until next time. That means Drew doesn't know. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Okay, here's my question. German, damn it, I just blew the question.
All right.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.